Find songs that have that concept in them here and there throughout the month. We'll see. I don't think there are a bunch of them, but we'll probably use them all up and then start over. I don't know. This song has friend, the word friend in it a few times. Yes. Amen. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No. Missions moment here. I've got the letter here from the carriers, and so we're going to talk about them. If you have something you'd like to give to missions, you can put it in the missions box at this time. And while you're up here, if you want to grab one of these little packs of 10 of the friendship or friend day invites, please only take them if you're going to pass them out. And if you don't plan on passing any out, plan on passing them out and take some. And so we've got they're in a band, and there's 10 in there. And so invite 10 people. We want to max out our space here on the 27th. That's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to have standing room only, and then we'll send the kids downstairs, and it'd be a great time. Amen. And so bring your friends. Make some friends so you can bring them. You're like, I don't have any friends. That's okay. Bring them. Bring some people. And we'll make them be your friend. No, I'm kidding. Just bring some folks. But anyhow, Stephen and Leslie Carrier, missionaries to Chile, they are, it says here, last month's letter we wrote that we were waiting to hear back about our visas before we could move to Chile. All of a sudden, after sending that letter out, I got word late one night that the consulate had made a decision on our visas, but they didn't tell me the result. I had a difficult time getting to sleep that night, more out of excitement than fear, since I did believe that God was working everything out for us to get to Chile. Praise the Lord, they approved both of our visas. And so they are they're working on getting on over there, and so they are, or rather, actually, let me read on here. It looks like they are there. I'll just read the whole letter because it's big print and it's just short. So it says here, this set in motion a chain of events that made for a whirlwind of a few weeks. We were able to see our families a little bit in between flying to Miami for our visas and then preparing to leave for Chile. We arrived in Chile last week and are so excited to finally be here doing what God has put in our hearts to do. So far, we have already had many new experiences, and Leslie is enjoying meeting all the friends I made from before when I was interning here. It says here, we're working with missionaries Jason and Lori Holt at first as we learn the ropes and master the language, and after that, we will get fully set up. It says we're excited to really start digging in. So far, we've managed to purchase a car and almost all of the appliances that we will need here. Just before we came to Chile, we found a house that we're renting for the first couple of years. Everything is starting to fall into place. It says here, now we're trying to get our Chilean identification number. It is called a RUT, or R-U-T, which will enable us to get to do much more on our own without needing to work around it. We're also looking to get our house fully set up and ready to live in. We want to say a huge thank you to those who have who gave toward the setup fund to get us here and on our feet, as well as those who support us on a regular basis. It was a huge blessing. Thank you for all your support. We're truly living the dream that God has put in our hearts, but we couldn't be doing it without you. God bless. Until next time. And so, praise the Lord. They have their setup funds. They have their full support, and they're in Chile now. And so, some praises. They said that their visas were approved, and they're now in Chile. God provided a good car for them at a great price. They got to attend their first week of church services in Chile. And then prayer requests, of course, that RUT number there says that they have an appointment on April 6th. So pray that it will go well. And then that they will really start to master the language, says Leslie is already jumping in and asking everybody what everything means, as well as just having fun being around the people in Chile. And says that pray also that Liberty Baptist Church, where they're serving, will continue to grow and reach people for Christ. And so there's the carriers. So we're going to pray for the carriers this morning in our opening prayer. And that's exciting at the end of the field. It's exciting to see also the Youngs took a trip to Nigeria this last week. And so that was really neat if you follow them on Facebook or whatever. So that was pretty cool to see. And a few videos. I still need to watch the videos, but I just saw some of the posts. And anyhow, so we'll pray for the carriers this morning as we open in prayer. Brother Wilhelm, why don't you open us in prayer? And yes, carrier.
Mm-hmm. Father, today we bring forth Leslie and Steve, carrier, Father, and Shelley, Lord. We pray that you with them, Lord, that you bless them, Father, that they feel your hand at work, Lord, that you bring people to them that need to hear the word, that they bless me, that they make a big difference in Shelley, Lord. We pray for your courage, Lord, that all the people will be blessed, Lord. And we pray that you be with us today, Father, that you speak to the pulpit. We pray, Lord, that we all learn what it was, Lord, what happened on the cross. Our sins were announced at the cross, Lord, and the resurrection of Christ. We're a new creature, Lord, and help us, Father, to defeat sin in our life that we might come to you and talk of it. And with your favor, Lord, pray for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated as you turn in your hymnal to hymn number 88. Hymn number 88. I think that somebody else courted this because it's terrible, and so I have no idea how to play the guitar. I just play what I see on the page, and it's wrong. And so we're going to sing that second verse a cappella. Can you come help me? My wife's going to come help me, and we'll sing that second verse a cappella. Amen. We sang half the first one a cappella anyway, so
sure.
That's fine. All right. I'm looking now across the river where my faith will end in sight. There's just a few more days to labor. Then I will take my heavenly flight. Beulah land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. Great. Sometimes that happens. Brother Bella, mark that one down as one that I don't know. Amen. All right. Amen. He said, oh, yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. All right, so some quick announcements here, upcoming events and such. And we have some exciting things coming up. You mentioned something. Okay, let's keep kids out of the basement for this afternoon for now. There's some things we still have to clean up and so forth. We're working on some drywall mudding and such. And so, don't let any kids go down there for now, unless it's like an emergency or something, which I couldn't possibly consider why we would have an emergency where they need to go to the basement. But anyhow, if you feel like they do, then whatever. Tornado, they're not likely today. that's that. And then this Thursday, before we talk about that, missions. We do need to make a decision before the end of this month on who we're going to support for missionaries. I mentioned this, I believe it was last week or Thursday night, but our current missionaries that we support, we're not like, making a huge, giant dent in their financial picture, but I am more of a proponent for a lot of churches supporting a missionary for a smaller amount than a few churches supporting a missionary for a larger amount. Because if for some reason something happens to one of the churches, you don't want that missionary to have a huge hit, a huge financial impact. And so we support missionaries at $50 a month at this time. We may raise that eventually, but right now we support five missionaries. We have the Roberts to South Africa, the Hewletts to Alaska, the Prangers to Russia, and they're home right now, be in prayer for them. The Youngs to Nigeria, and the Tarwaters to the Philippines. Yes, thank you. Amen. Glad you all know them. So some that we had proposed, and if you have other ideas of people who have been here recently that you think we ought to add as a potential proposed missionary to support. First of all, our church planting ministry. I'm going to propose that we support our church planting ministry for $200 a month. That's about the same as supporting four missionaries, but it is our missions work, and so I believe it's proper to do that. to be the largest supporter of our church planting ministry. And so and be in prayer about that as well. And praise the Lord, we've had some things come in. We've got half a garage full of pews. We've got a pulpit there. There's hymnals in Brother Ramsey's truck.
No,
they're there? Oh, he snuck in and got them in there. There you go. We have to make sure we get some tape around that so they don't mold. So we've got hymnals in place. There's several things coming in line for when we go to send the Adams off to start the church in Plainfield there, the first one. And definitely be in prayer for Pastor Adams as well, as he's not feeling well today again. And so pray that he can just get over this mortality thing of being mortal and subject to sickness and things like that. You know, no. He doesn't have to die. Just pray that he just becomes invincible. And so, so anyhow, be in prayer for him as he's probably watching us online. Hi, brother. We love you. Get well. Get back here. Amen. So other proposed missionaries, the Helms, they were here last Sunday night. Missionaries to Alaska as well. Alaska is a big state. So if we had like six missionaries in Alaska, you know, there's remote places that need a gospel witness, and it seems that the Lord's really working with Brother Helms there. And then Brother Hazelwood, he and his wife are missionaries to the military. They're at Fort Leonard Wood. They're going to be heading out over there pretty soon. Hopefully, you pray for them to find a place to live there, so that they can move. And I think they have to sell their house here and then buy there. And so that's another one there. Sorry, some of y'all are cold and some of y'all are warm, so I'm trying to balance between the two. So, and then. Romeo, Brother Romeo Lebon Gray, he's a national pastor in the Philippines. The Normans are missionaries of help. They help other missionaries. So when a missionary needs to come home from the field, they can go and cover for them while the other missionary is on furlough. And then the Howards, missionaries to Utah, and Brother Chavez there in northwest Indiana, starting a Spanish-speaking church. And then Brother Kurecki, and I still forget, is it? No, I remember how to spell his name, but I forget the place in Africa he's going to. There's the Nubi people in Africa somewhere, but there's an actual country that he's going to that I forget the name of it, but it may be Uganda. But be in prayer about that, and please let me know your thoughts on that. And all of those have been someone that somebody here has said, I think we should support them. And so that's why we brought them up as a possibility. Now, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We only have 5 slots. So maybe we support 5 of these and pray for the other 2 to maybe the Lord will give us enough to support the other 2. And then that works out, or maybe we support 3 of these and the Lord gives us another idea for 2. But I'd like to make the decision before the end of the month, so please let me know your thoughts on that. I want to know how folks feel about the missionaries. So I know it's not the missions moment, but that's the first thing on our especially planned activities, and that is to make a decision on our missions. And so be in prayer about that. Amen. Keep kicking water bottles around here. If a preacher's up here looking for a water bottle, they're tucked under the pulpit. Amen. So, mission decision. Next thing, there's a youth activity this Thursday before church, meeting at, what did we say, 4 or 5? 4. 4 o'clock? 4:30. Meeting at 4:30, we're going to go downtown. We can either meet down there, or we can meet here, or we can meet at my house, whatever. But when we get done, we're coming here after that, coming here for church. And so 4:30 on Thursday, we're going to go look at the green water in the canal and have a good time. We'll maybe pass out some tracks as well. So 4:30, we should have done some green tracks like the ones that we... Yeah, too late now. Anyhow, 4:30 on Thursday, this Thursday. And then Friend Day on the 27th. Don't forget Friend Day. Don't forget to invite. We talked about that already. And then Youth Rally on the 1st. Lots of stuff. Man, April's like next week. Not really. It's a couple, 3 weeks away. Amen. Be in your places. Amen. Let's go ahead and make ready for the offering. Also, remember our bus ministry. We've got a few mechanical things that we need to deal with. The shuttle bus wouldn't start this morning, so it might just be out of gas. The white bus. The red bus is over there, and it's below 40, which means it won't start unless you plug it in. We've got to have about a 1,000-foot extension cord to plug it in, and it has to go across the road and everything. So it's just going to sit there until it's above 40. And then the yellow bus, I think, is up to snuff. It just needs painted.
It should be above 40 today.
Oh, well, amen. We just bring them all over here and fill the parking lot up. Yeah, you're right. It'd probably be over 40 after the service, so maybe we'll. It's actually 36 right now, so it might fire up right after church. So, anyhow, if you can jump in and help on that, let us know. Brother Travis is the point man for painting the bus, so see him if you want to help.
Yellow
bus, yeah. Like what? We just painted the red one, but the yellow one needs to be painted so we can use it. We can't use it until it's a different color. It's gonna be blue. Yeah, it's gonna be blue. What is it? J Blue, I think. And so I don't. It's not J Bird. It's just J Blue. I don't know. That's some Lowe's name for color. Sherwin Williams decided that they called it J Blue. So if you want to know the color, there's a bucket in my office. You can pop the lid off, stick your finger in there, and that'll be the color. And so anyhow, that and then the basement. We do need to finish the drywall down there. And tonight after the evening service, after we have fellowship, we need to try to bring all the stuff upstairs. Maybe we'll have the red bus out here. We can put all that stuff in the bus so that it's out of the way. And then we need to clean very, very well, clean the floor and paint it. And so I'd like to have the floor ready to go before Friend Day. I'd like to paint the walls too, but probably better to paint the walls first. What's that? Need to mop it, yeah. Actually, Brother Marvin mopped it this morning, but it probably needs a bunch of mopping before it's ready. So, amen. All right. Lead us in prayer, brother. If you give online or digitally, if you're online watching, it's right here. If you're here, it's not right here. But we've got paint with grit in it that we bought for it. So, but if you give through Zelle, it's dr.c@foundationsindy.com. Amen. Go ahead and lead us in prayer, brother.
Father, we thank you so much for today, Lord. We thank you for your blessings and giving to us as we give back to you, God. We thank you for having an opportunity to give back to your work here and wherever you may stretch your hand, Lord. God, I pray you may just empower us, God, to be able to give more to you, Lord, and give us boldness and our speech as we talk to people, Lord, and we may be able to build your church here, Lord, that others may be able to do as well, God. Lord, I just pray that you may continue to work here in our church and work with us to make us more faithful, God. Lord, I just pray that you may bless this offering, bless the giver, Lord. I pray that you may do us thirst to follow us, may answer our prayers, and just minister to us as needed. And pray that you may be glorified in all we do. Pray that you may be just, amen.
We're going to sing the first and the last of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. 345. That's the other one, yeah. There's another one too, but we saved it for special. There might be more. We'll come across it. It's not in G, so whatever this is. So it's like this.
Friend we have in Jesus.
want to do that in G. Depends on if it's morning voice or afternoon voice. And my voice doesn't decide sometimes about this time of day. On that last. Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Hymn number one. On that chorus, some of y'all saying, how marvelous, and some of y'all saying, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful. You get to choose. If it sounds like everybody else is doing, I'm going to say, oh, how, and y'all say however you want. Amen. Yeah, you can stand for this. You can stand for the. I mean, the first two words says I stand, so why not? I stand for praise in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unto Thee. Oh, how marvelous! Oh, how wonderful! Thank you, brother. Revelation 9. We are continuing in the book of Revelation. I've got this on now, so. In Revelation chapter 9, and of course you know that we began a sub-series of our series through Revelation We've been working through Revelation. In fact, we started in the book of Romans about 8 years ago, and we've gone from Romans to Revelation, and here we are in. There we are. Let me get my notes all turned the right way here. Amen. Here we are in Revelation chapter number 9, and I'll give a little context in a few moments after we read our text, and then we'll jump on in. But we are in a sub-series, part 3 of our sub-series. It's a 5-part sub-series on repentance. Repentance needed. And so last week we looked at repentance needed for murder. The week before we looked at repentance needed for idolatry. And today we're looking at repentance needed for sorceries. And so we're going to read our text, and then we'll pray for the Lord to help us here. So we'll read verses 20 and 21. It says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word, and we thank You, Father, that You offer a space to repent. And Lord, we thank You that You have offered a space to repent for a very long time. And Lord, for every generation that's been on earth from this point forward, and You're not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And Father, as we look here at this subject of sorcery today, Lord, I pray that You'd help me to keep my thoughts in order and in line. I pray, Father, that You'd help the listener to also keep their thoughts in order and in line. And Lord, help us to hear what each of us need to hear today. And Lord, help us to apply what we hear to our hearts and to our lives. And Lord, may we not be guilty of sorcery. And if we are, may we repent. And Lord, may we be careful to maintain a proper reality before You. And Lord, we pray Your blessing upon it all now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated now. So in the book of Revelation, I'm going to try to make our recap maybe 1 minute. We'll see here. It probably won't work, but I'll try. And so in the book of Revelation, John is on the Isle of Patmos. He was exiled there after multiple failed attempts at his martyrdom. And he is there on the Lord's Day. He's in the Spirit, and the Lord meets him there on the Isle of Patmos. And he says, he says there that he turns and he sees the Lord, and he drops dead, pretty much. He says, "I fell as dead at His feet." And the Lord picks him up, and then tells him about what he's going to do. He says, "Look, you're going to write this down, and you're going to send this to the seven churches which are in Asia. And I'm going to give you the revelation of Myself." The book of Revelation, remember, is not to hide anything. It is not a book of secrets. It is a book revealing things. And so the book of Revelation is for us to learn and to know about Jesus and His plan for the future. And so throughout the book, so we had the seven letters to the seven churches in Asia. And I'm sorry, I'm talking faster. You have to kind of listen fast. And about 10 minutes in, you'll catch up, I think. Or I'll slow down, one or the other. So he's given the letters to the seven churches in Asia. These are churches here that the Lord wanted to give a message to. And so John brings those. These were actual churches at that time. It is not church ages, although there are some timelines that could fit. The primary purpose of the letters was to address those churches. Primarily through the pastor of those churches, so the angel of the church, each one. And so after he addresses the churches, it says right after this, John hears a voice. He looks up and he sees a door open in heaven. He hears a voice and up he goes. It says, "Come up hither." And he was immediately there in heaven. We believe that to be when the rapture takes place. This is now future from this point forward. So he's there. Around, he sees the throne of God. He sees just the majesty and the greatness of the Lord. And then there's a problem. There's a scroll. There's this roll a book that no one can open. And John's pretty upset about it. He weeps and because there's nobody worthy to open this scroll. And then he looks over and he sees the Lamb that was slain. And he sees that there is someone who is worthy to open the scroll. And so the Lord Jesus is that Lamb. And so he takes the scroll, and I'm 2 minutes and 40 seconds in, so I'm sorry. But Jesus begins to open the seals of that scroll. Each seal then brings a judgment with it. You have the first one with the Antichrist coming on the scene, and then you know the four horsemen with these the first one being the Antichrist, and then you have the peace taken and a sword brought, and you know wars and things like that, and then you have the economy crashing, the world economy completely crashing, and then you have just death and just total death and destruction of everything, and then you have the martyrs mentioned in the fifth seal, and in the sixth seal you have just total mayhem, like the sky is falling, quite literally, in fact. And then the seventh seal opens up the seven judgments of the trumpet judgments, and so we're actually in the trumpet judgments now. During those trumpet judgments in chapter 8, you have hail and fire burning the grass and the trees, and you have a burning mountain falling into the sea with the second one there, and a third of the sea becoming blood, and then the third one, a star falling from heaven and causing the rivers, all the fresh water, to become wormwood, or rather a third of it anyhow. And then the fourth trumpet, a third part of the sun, the moon, and the stars are smitten, and they don't shine for a third part of the day. And then you have the fifth trumpet with those locusts, terrifying, crazy things going on there. And then the sixth trumpet with the four angels being loosed from the Euphrates, and the 200 million army, 200 million horsemen, we'll put it that way, army of spirit beings, we'll put it that way. Okay, so demons. And they take out a third of the population at this point. By this point, in the book of Revelation, over half of the people who were left at the beginning of the tribulation are gone, dead. And verse number 20 brings us to our text. And the rest of the men, everybody that's left, and the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor of their thefts. And today we're looking at sorceries. And you say, Pastor, sorcery, really? Yes, really. Say, in the 21st century? Yes, really. We're going to talk about this today. And so Webster, in 1828, put down in his dictionary that sorcery means magic, enchantment, witchcraft, divination, being the assistance of evil spirits, or the power of commanding evil spirits. So that was the definition there from Webster of sorcery. And I'm going to give you my basic definition of sorcery, and then we're going to see how the Greek word being used and how the English word is used in the Bible, and see how my definition fits. Not to say that his definition isn't right. It is right. But I'm kind of boiling it down to a baseline of what is sorcery. And so my statement is that sorcery is anything that questions or alters the reality that God has laid out in His own revelation. That's sorcery. Anything that questions or alters the reality that God has laid out in His own revelation. His revelation is His Word. Okay? At the bottom line, sorcery is lying. It is deceit. It is lying to yourself, others, and or God, and trying to pass it off as truth. That's what sorcery is. Now, we'll get into how the word is used in the Bible. So, Anybody ever heard of Strong's Concordance? I use Strong's Concordance, but understand that, like, Strong's Concordance isn't the Bible. But he does a good job of, like, linking up things. I've seen some people use Strong's Concordance to a fault in the sense that they will take the definition as the exact absolute definition. Well, you kind of sometimes have to do your own word study because sometimes it's not quite right there. So let's look here. It says, he says, outline of biblical usage. Number one, the use of or the use or the administering of drugs. What? How? Why? Oh, I forgot. I needed to tell you the Greek word. The Greek word for sorcery here is pharmakia. I can't spell it for you because I'm not like crisp on my Greek letters right now. It's phi, alpha, rho, anyhow. You can spell it for us. There we go. No, you can't? Okay. All right. Well, here it is right here in case it's just Greek to me, so it's Greek to you as well because it is Greek. So number two, the second way it's used is poisoning. Poisoning. Number three is sorcery, of course. Magical arts often associated or found in connection with idolatry and fostered by it. And then number four, metaphorically, the deceptions and seductions of idolatry. And so the word pharmakia is actually only used three times in your Bible, the word pharmakia. Now, the word sorcery is used, or anything sorcerers, all that, 15 times in your Bible. And then there's some other things that we're going to look at as well. But so the first time that the word is used, it's actually not translated as sorcery. It's translated as witchcraft. And it's in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 20, does anybody know what's going on there in that passage? I want to make sure that as we reference some of these passages, and I'm going to reference a lot. I've got literally 5 pages of Scripture here that we're going to reference. So we're not going to look at the context of every one, but I have looked at the context of every one, and I'm going to try to be careful to tie it in if possible. But does anybody know what's going on in Galatians chapter 5? What's he reviewing here? What's he dealing with? Liberty is the general theme of Galatians, but in chapter 5, he's dealing with the lusts of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. That's toward the end there, right? He says the lusts of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and he goes on and talks about them, right? But in the next verse, verse number 20, he says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, and he goes on. So, witchcraft is the lust of the flesh. That's what it is. It's listed in the things that are the lusts of the flesh. Witchcraft here is the word pharmakia. It's the Greek word pharmakia. The two other times that it's used, it is used as the word sorcery. Or sorceries. And so in our text, of course, where it says, nor of their sorceries, right? They didn't repent of their sorceries. And also in Revelation 18, verse number 23. In Revelation 18, 23, it says, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. Does that give anybody a clue of what we're talking about yet on that one? Yay, nay? Where are we at? We're in Revelation 18. What are we talking about? Who is thee there? No. It's talking about a particular place. Babylon. Right? Babylon the Great has fallen, and you know, and all these things, and all the judgment is given for Babylon. It's the kingdom of man. But he says here that the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all nations deceived. Interesting. Now, those are the three times that word is used, that Greek word is used in your Bible. I'm going to take a moment. We're going to get back on sorcery and all of that, the text, the passages. But I'm going to take a moment, probably a long moment, and I'm going to cover the last word of that verse, the word deceived. And because I believe that that is a key element, and I want everybody to carefully listen. If you're watching online, you need to carefully pay attention. If you're in the nursery, carefully pay attention. If you're here, carefully pay attention. Sorcery causes deception. Deceit is closely connected with sorcery. When we get to our application, you'll get the general point there. But deceit is closely related. It is a false. A false picture of reality. That's what sorcery is. It's a false picture of reality. And a false picture of reality is deception. It's a lie. And so, interesting things in the Bible about deception. I'm going to give you, I've got a lot of examples here, and I'm going to try not to read every single one of them, but if you remember, the one fella whose name actually meant deceiver or supplanter. What was his name? Jacob. In Genesis chapter 27, verse number 12, Jacob says to his mother, "My father will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver." And what was he? A deceiver, right? Well, he got it back because in Genesis chapter 31 and verse number 7, he says to his wife, "Your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me." And then, of course, you have the Lord dealing with Pharaoh. And by the way, I didn't take every time. It's like 143 times that forms of the word deceit are used in the Bible. 143 times. I didn't put all of them down. Okay, so don't worry. But in Exodus, I did want to cover a couple things, like when Pharaoh he kept saying, "Yeah, I'll let you go. Never mind. Yeah, I'll let you go. Never mind." Well, Moses said in chapter 8, verse number 29, he says here, "Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." Does Pharaoh deal deceitfully after that? Yes, he does. He continues to do so. In Leviticus chapter number 6 and verse number 2, it says, "If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord..." By the way, let me pause for a second here. Some folks have deceived themselves into thinking that deception is okay. And so that's why I'm covering a lot of these passages that are going to include deception as very vile sin. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse number 2, again, "If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taking away by violence, and hath deceived his neighbor," there's a punishment for that. In verse number 4, it says, "Then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found." If you deceive, you are supposed to, according to the law, according to the Levitical law, and I believe that continued, not the Levitical law as a whole, but I believe that this particular principle continued, right? It's called restitution. Do we not still practice that today in our basic law? If you take something, you are required to give it back. It's restitution. And if you can't give it back, you're supposed to make some form of restitution, right? If you do the crime, you do the time, or you pay it back, right? And so, even when it comes to deception, restitution is required, which means a return to reality, a bringing forward of the truth, and a confession of the deception, and say, "This was deceit, this is the truth." Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 16, it says, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. What? Your heart can be deceived? Oh, yeah. And ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Idolatry and deception, they go together. They go together. In Job, there's a bunch in Job. I just grabbed two. Chapter 15, verse number 31. Let not him that is deceived trust in vanity, for vanity shall be his recompense. Chapter 27, verse number 4. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. In Psalms, there's a bunch in Psalm. I grabbed a handful of them or so. Chapter 5, verse number 6, it says, thou shalt destroy them that seek leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. That's pretty big deal. Anybody want God to just be like, yeah, I hate that person? And like when God thinks about you, you want Him to be like, yeah, I hate him. I abhor him. He disgusts me. No. Well, don't be deceitful then. Or bloody. And then chapter 10, verse number 7, his mouth is full of cursing. He's talking about a sinner here. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Don't want to be described that way. Chapter 24, verse 4, here's a great one. Chapter 24 talks about, says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place, right?
Sorry, did you say that again?
I wasn't asking you. he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, right? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Chapter 36, verse number 3. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. This is all describing sinners, bad people. Chapter 43, verse number 1. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me, O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. This is a rough thing. People don't want to be around deceitful people, right? David, the king of Israel, said, deliver me, O Lord. Deliver me from deceitful people, from deceitful men. In chapter 55, verse number 23, it says, but thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Deceit can lead to a short life, a short lifespan. Don't want that. Chapter 72, verse number 14. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence. Precious shall their blood be in his sight. This is speaking of saints. He's redeemed them from that. Right? If you're born again today, you are redeemed from deceit. Right? He says chapter number 101, verse number 7, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. And this is the sign that you get to put on your front door when you have teenagers. You want to lie? You lie on the porch. tell the truth. I'm kidding. I'm not picking on you guys, except I am. Proverbs. We'll look at the book of Proverbs here for a moment. Proverbs 11:18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Chapter number 12, verse number 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. You kind of get in the picture here. It's not good. Deceit doesn't necessarily yet tie in with, you've got it tied in with idolatry up here, but it takes a little while before you start seeing it tie in with the concept of sorcery or witchcraft or something like that. And so, but understand, at the very end, Revelation 18:23, it directly ties in. It says that they that the nations are deceived by the sorceries of Babylon. Now, chapter number 12, verse number 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Deceit and lies, right? They're together, right? Chapter 12, verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Chapter number 14, verse number 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Right? Let me maybe describe that a little bit or explain that a little bit. A wise person, a prudent person, is wise because he's seeking to understand what he ought to be doing. But the folly of fools, the reason fools live in folly is because their whole modus operandi, is that how that goes? Their whole mode of operation, okay, is deceit. It's all about how they can get what they want by putting forth a version of reality that benefits them. That's deception. That's what deceit is. So, we've got two more in Proverbs. Chapter 14, verse number 25. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Chapter 24, verse number 28. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 9. Talking about our Lord, it says, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Jeremiah 14:14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. What? How could this happen? Y'all know that Jeremiah dealt with that. That's why Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. You think about that. All of your colleagues, so to speak, everybody who bears the same title as you, they're running around speaking lies, prophesying lies. They say, the Lord said, and he hath not said, right? He says, I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake I unto them. He said, I didn't even tell them anything. And they're saying, I said something, right? They're literally trying to put words in God's mouth. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. They're speaking. Hey, listen, they're only speaking their heart. Right? It's deceit, the deceit of their heart. Oh, and just in case you need to know more about the heart, in chapter 17, verse number 9, it says the heart, this is the heart of man, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Careful. Careful. I'm going to step on some things today when we get toward the end here, and I want you to understand before we get there why I'm stepping on them. The mantra, follow your heart, is wicked. It's wrong. It is sorcery. It's deceptive because it's saying follow that thing within you that deceives you. In fact, we didn't have it here because it didn't have the word deceive or deceit or deceptive or anything like that in it. But in Proverbs, the Lord says that he that followeth his heart, the fool. He also says, guide thine heart in the way, right? And so he says, chapter 23, verse number 26, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Again, mentioned there. Now we get to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 22. I'll let you all turn. I know some of y'all are sticking with me here, so it's all in order, so it works. Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 22.
chapter 13, verse number 22. It says, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Y'all know where we're at there, right? It's the parable of the sower, right? Sower went forth to sow, and you know, some this way and that way and the other way, and this one is the one who received it among the thorns. And the deceitfulness of riches, right? Now, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Chapter 24, verse number 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." Don't get deceived. By the way, there are a lot of other passages like in Luke, in Mark, Luke, and John, but I didn't do all the, I just did Matthew just so that we can keep moving, right? So, in chapter number 24, verse number 5, right after that, he says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." How are they deceiving them? You'll see. In verse number 11 of the same chapter, it says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." How are they deceiving them? They're deceiving them through false prophecy. Romans 1:29, speaking of the wicked, speaking of those who have left off from the Lord, those who are unrighteous. Verse number 29, it says, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers," it goes on, "backbiters," and so on and so on. That's a long list of bad things, and deceit's right there in the middle of it. Yeah, that's right. "Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Chapter 3, verse number 13 says, "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps," that's poisonous snakes, "is under their lips." 1 Corinthians 6:9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." Why would we be deceived? Because we sometimes think that we get around this or something. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind," and it goes on and on with that. Don't be deceived about that. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." So many are deceived about that. They think, "Oh, I can hang out with whoever I want, and it will not affect me." Be not deceived, he said. Because that's exactly what you're doing when you're hanging out with whoever you want, thinking they won't affect you. You're deceived. You've deceived yourself. Let's go on here. So, chapter 15, verse number 33. Oh, that's what we just read. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse number 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Galatians 6, 7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." See, if you're practicing sorcery, you have deceived yourself into thinking that you can live however you want and never have to reap the consequences. That's deception. That's sorcery. That is making a new version of reality that you try to live in, where you can do what you want and get away with it. You can't. Don't be deceived. You reap what you sow, right? As one preacher said, many folks, they will sow to the flesh and sow to sin, and then they'll pray for crop failure. Right. Won't happen. You will reap what you sow. Even if you repent and get it right, you still reap what you sow. Now, sometimes you get the grace to handle the reaping because you've gotten right, but you always reap what you sow. That's just how it is. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 22. He says, put off, right? That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to what? The deceitful lusts. You know, the desires of your heart, those lusts, those things that you want, that you have a strong desire after. Now, I'm not saying, you know, there are some good things that you can have a desire for. You know, you can have a desire to please God and to serve God. That's okay. But lustful desires, these are deceitful lusts. These things that promise you pleasure when really they just end in pain. You think about the definition here. Think about what we're talking about. We're talking about sorcery. We're talking about pharmakia. We're talking about... I don't want to go all the way to the explanation of the definition yet. We're talking about stuff that makes your reality different. And people try to take advantage of those things because the lust or the desire for those things tells them that it's going to make things better, or it's going to make you feel good, or it's going to solve some sort of problem. But in the end, all it did was deceive you and bring about more pain and more problems. We're going to get further on. I know some of y'all are following it and you're a few steps ahead. That's okay. We're going to get there. Where are we? Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's a good one. Just mark that one down. That's a good one. That right there will fit right along with sorcery. Philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. Now, I've got 3 points and I haven't gotten there yet. This is all introduction. The points are really short though. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 14. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. You're welcome, men. I'm just kidding. But Adam chose to sin. He had his own little deception going on, but it wasn't the same deception. Eve was deceived by the serpent. Adam was deceived in himself. By his lust, yes. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 13. But evil men, this is talking about in the end, end times. Are we there yet? Pretty close. Evil men, we've been there a long time. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, being deceiving and being deceived. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Y'all know what wax means? It's not the stuff you put on your car. It's not the car wash thing. It waxes like to become, right? Y'all know that we still use wax and wane about the moon, right? There's like a waxing crescent or a waning crescent or a waxing gibbous. Nobody ever heard that before? What? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, you get a full moon and a new moon, right? And then there's stuff in between that. You know, some of y'all, you might just call, that's a thumbnail, or it's a crescent. It's either waxing or it's waning. It's either becoming a full moon or it's retreating from becoming a full moon, right? Or you know, waning in its size. So to wax is to become or to progress, and then to wane is to regress or retreat. So anyhow, evil men and seducers shall wax. I'm sorry, not evil men and seducers. Where am I at? Here we go. Evil men and seducers, yes, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And by the way, there's a whole other... The sorcery has a whole family of little buddies as far as terms and words. And you can do word studies on a lot of them. I only did three words. Sorcery, witchcraft, and deceit. You can put seduction. There's several things that fit right in with that. Okay, they're in the same little friendship, the same little clique there. So in 1 John chapter 1 verse number 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It's important to get. By the way, if you want to go to heaven someday, you've got to realize that you have sin. You've got to realize that you need a Savior. It has to happen. You've got to recognize that. Not just recognize it, but you've got to be convinced of it with conviction of the soul, where the Spirit of God shows you that it's not okay that you are a sinner. First of all, that you are a sinner. Secondly, that because you're a sinner, judgment's coming. And thirdly, it's not okay and there's a way of escape. Jesus Christ died at Calvary so that you could be born again, if you'll simply trust in His work instead of your own. Don't be deceived. 2 John chapter 1, verse number 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And then we get to Revelation. Revelation 13, 14. And since we're right here, let's just turn over there real quick. I know many of y'all are already turning to every passage here. That's great. We're going to go back through the Bible again on two other words, but only shorter, less passages, okay? So, Revelation 13, and let's see here. So, speaking about a beast here. This is another beast. It says, this beast, what is he going to do? He's going to... Let's back up here to... Let's look at his description. Let's look at verse number 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. And this is referring back to like the Antichrist and his kingdom and all the wicked, vile things that he's doing. But he says, here is the patience and faith of the saints. He's talking about what he just said. In other words, the Antichrist and his kingdom are going to reap what they have sown. So trust God, be patient, it's coming. He's telling the saints in the tribulation that. Verse number 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Who do we maybe guess this might be? This beast. I mean, he's behind him, but what other title do you think he might have? A false prophet. A false prophet, yeah. So, what does he do here? Look at this. And he doeth great wonders. Hold on. He can't be. He's got to be from God if he's doing great wonders, doesn't he? Mm-mm. He doeth great wonders. So that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. You know, find some other guys that were doing that before. And he's like, hey, I can do it too. Does that sound familiar? Let's see. Moses went in and he's like, hey, check this out, a snake. Oh, and then Pharaoh's what? We're going to look at that in a minute. Magicians. We'll get there. He doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Deceit. But this is the sorcery that's being talked about later on. This deceit with lying wonders and miracles. And then our other passage that uses pharmakia there, Revelation 18:23. But then in chapter 20, in verse number 10, I've read 18:23 two times already, so we'll leave that up to you to read again. But in Revelation 20, verse number 10, it says, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And now I'm back to my regular notes. So, do you kind of get the point? Deception fits with sorcery. Okay? So now let's look at sorcery for just a moment. We're going to look at sorcery and we're going to look at magic. No, we're going to look at witch and magic with that. So, sorcerer. I put S-O-R-C-E-R asterisk. Everything that starts with that and has anything after it, there's 15 verses. Exodus 7:11. Moses went in and got him a Slurpee. No, I'm kidding. Exodus 7:11. I need to get you all back in here. Come on. 7:11. I know reading a lot of verses, you're like, ah, putting me to sleep. You're killing me, right? Come on, work with me here. Exodus 7:11. Then Pharaoh, also called the wise men and the sorcerers. And then what does it refer to these wise men and sorcerers right after that? It says, now the magicians of Egypt. He's talking about the wise men and sorcerers. These are called magicians. The magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. Enchantments. Isaiah 47, verse 9. I know it's a long way over to the right. Isaiah 47, verse 9. And then we'll be in Acts. Just go to Acts. I'll get Isaiah on your way there. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood, speaking to Israel here, they shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the abundance of thine enchantments. Sorcery and enchantment. You can do a study on enchantment. On magician. Yes, sir. That was Isaiah 47:9. Sorcery and enchantments. Chapter 8 of Acts. If you're over there in the book of Acts, we're going to read two verses in chapter 8. Then we're going to jump to chapter number 13. Chapter 8, verse number 9. And there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Verse number 11 says, and to him, speaking of Simon, they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Again, what is this bewitching? It's deceit. It's putting forth a reality that they were willing to swallow. It's putting forth something. It was putting forth there's a whole other stream you can go down on this one. And what this is, what a sorcerer is literally a cult leader. It is a person who puts forth an alternate reality for you to take on that will cause you to follow them. And that's what Simon was doing. You can read more on Simon later. Chapter 13. And when they had gone, verse number 6, and when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Verse number 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, another one, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. You see, sorcerers, those who practice sorcery, are not interested in people getting saved. They're not interested in someone coming to faith in the right reality. They don't want you to leave the reality that they have painted for you. Our text again, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Revelation 18, 23 again, because it uses both words there. Remember, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, this which is the second death. Now that is some strong language right there. I would say that it would be a very fearful thing to consider the possibility of sorcery in your life. Because those who are sorcerers, says here they'll have their part in the lake of fire. You say, well, wait a minute, it says liars too. Yep, because they're two peas in a pod. The deception of sorcery. And then after talking about the New Jerusalem and all that, in chapter 22, verse 15, it says, without, for without, like outside the gates of the New Jerusalem, are dogs and sorcerers, and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whatsoever loveth and maketh a lie. All in the same boat. Not receiving the reward in heaven. By the way, it isn't about whether you practice sorcery or not. It's about whether or not you've trusted Christ. By the way, in order to trust Christ, you leave that reality you've painted for yourself and you trust the one that He's declared. That He is righteous, and He is God, and that we are sinful and in need of a Savior, and that He died and performed all the work necessary to save us. And we trust that. We believe His reality. That's His revelation. That's His Word. That's how you repent from... I'm already all the way at the end. That's how you repent of your sorcery. Now, the last word that we're going to look at, and then we're going to look at our application, which is the actual message, which is only this long. The word witch. It's mentioned 9 times, 8 verses in the Bible. The first one, Exodus 22:18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now this is a command to Israel. It doesn't mean we need to go around witch hunting, okay? That's Israel, all right? Deuteronomy 18, verse number 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. All those words, you can study on those. They all fit in the same little family here. Same unhappy little family. 1 Samuel chapter number 15, verse number 23. And we only have a few verses here. Again, it's 8 verses. So 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Just in case you didn't know, witchcraft is sin. So is rebellion. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, think about this. This is Samuel talking to Saul, King Saul. What is it that Saul has done? What is his sin? He has rebelled against the Lord. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. He is guilty of rebellion and stubbornness through his rejection of the word of the Lord. Wrap your head around it. Saul. He has created for himself, while he's waiting for Samuel and he thinks he's created for himself a version of reality that forced him, his own words, I forced myself, that forced him to disobey God. When you create yourself a version of reality that causes you to rebel against and reject the Word of God and then be stubborn about it, it is witchcraft. It is sorcery. It's the same. And it is as idolatry. 2 Kings 9:22. And it came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. Some bad stuff. Yeah. 1 Chronicles 33:6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. whole other long study on that. You can look at the idolatry that Israel was involved in. The Valley of the Son of Hinnom, it's is also called Tophet. It's the Kidron Valley, or it's Kidron Valley. No, it's the other valley, the southern valley in Jerusalem, or south of Jerusalem. They would pass their children through the fire of Molech or Hinnom in worship to a false deity. And it says, also he observed times and used enchantments. Observing times has to do with other holidays and an actual observation of those holidays, meaning like, you know, human sacrifice and all these kind of things, sacrifice to other gods. Observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. There's another word to think about for a moment. Wizards. Yeah. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the guy on the other end of that. We're almost done here. What does he say in Micah 5:12? I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Speaking to Israel. Nahum 3:4. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Again, this witchcraft, this idolatry, this magic, these enchantments, this sorcery, this deceit, it's all deception, wrapping lies together to win people over to your way of thinking. Again, as we mentioned before, the word pharmakia there is used in Galatians 5:20, where it says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. So let's look at our application for a moment here. And this may take a few minutes, but we'll jump into our application here, and then we'll be done. We have three main things. But so anything that questions or alters the reality that God has laid out in His own revelation is sorcery. That was the definition I gave. Now, does it seem to make sense now that we've gone through all these passages to answer that? So let's look at some examples to watch out for. Here's where we start meddling. Number one, believing in or buying into the reality questioning philosophies. Buying into reality questioning philosophies or believing reality questioning philosophies. I'll make this easy. I'll take this in case you can't help me here. I'll let y'all help me. What philosophies are there out there that question biblical reality? Oh, there's a bunch. But what are some real common... Yes, sir? Oh, man. Yeah, that's a kind of a newer, like, gamer reality. It's like, oh, this is a computer simulation. You're not really here. The what? It's... Okay. Okay, so what I was saying is buying into or believing in reality questioning philosophy. So a philosophy or a philosophy, it's a way of thinking, a way of life that questions the reality of that God has set forth. That's one. Okay. Yeah. That's humanism. Humanism. Now you said reincarnation. Where's that? Where? Give me the ism. Hinduism. Hinduism believe in reincarnation? I think so. Buddhism. Okay. Man's logic. Buddhism, yeah. Yep.
Going on your own understanding
Yep. Leaning on your own understanding. Yeah, the man's way of thinking. So, Travis? The good outweighs the bad. That's a philosophy that's a deceitful philosophy. I said the word too much. It doesn't work anymore. What else? Yeah. Yeah. Now, let me talk about one that's gotten really popular, especially among the teens. Okay, I'm not saying that it's popular among my teens. I hope not, but popular among the teens, popular among the rock culture. And the when I say rock culture, please understand I'm saying this in a very general sense, not just talking about the genre rock and roll. We're talking about the culture of American entertainment, we'll put it that way. And by the way, American entertainment is inundated with sorcery. Absolutely inundated with sorcery. All the gurus and all of the philosophers of Eastern thought are sorcerers. I don't care who hears me say that. That's a fact. That's a fact. Chakras, fairies, spirit guides, oracles, any magical arts or wizardry, shamanism, all of that goes right back to... Now listen, if you're not holding forth the Word of God as the standard of truth, the bottom line is, it is sorcery. You're bending reality to fit your perception for other people. You're taking concepts, sometimes even biblical concepts, karma. The Bible says you reap what you sow. Karma says the universe gives you back what you put into it. That is sorcery. It's a deviation from God's Word. Because God said, you reap what you sow. Why do we reap what we sow? Because God said so, not because the universe anything. Positive vibes. Where are these vibes? Come on. Give me chapter, book, and verse. Come on. Where's it at? You want to purport something that's real, I want to hear it from the maker of reality. You want to say this? Yeah, it's coming from the heart. Yeah. You want to say this is what Nirvana? I'm talking about the rock group, but them too. That whole concept. Man, I'm skipping down to the last point. Okay, so the first and the last point kind of go together. One of them is believing. The other one is practicing. Okay. And then we got one in between that we'll deal with as well. That's usually the most common thing that everybody talks about when they talk about sorcery, and that's drugs, and we'll get there. But believing and practicing witchcraft, Wicca, Luciferianism, any practice of the occult, spirit or astral projection, mysticism, transcendental meditation, all of that, it all fits right in the same little family with sorcery. God does not approve. It's not the reality He put forth in His Word. Now, listen, the reason I said transcendental meditation is because that's different than biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is not, what am I thinking? Nothing. No, biblical meditation is, Let's meditate on the Word of God. Let's mull it over. Let's think about it. Let's actually activate our mind thinking about the truths of reality, the Word of God. So, transcendental meditation is, the concept behind transcendental meditation is that you're going to transcend this reality into another. That is literally what they're trying to do. Leave this reality for some other reality that they create inside to go have playtime. Their little happy land. It's like a dream world. Those philosophies. We get okay. Listen. I'm gonna leave it up to you to decide how the Lord would lead you in your home on entertainment. But I will say that our entertainment industry in America, namely the biggest, most powerful, richest entertainment corporation, I think, in the world, Disney. Their whole premise. Now listen, I'm not saying that, you know, if you watch a Disney movie, you're a sorcerer, okay? But maybe you are, I don't know. But what I am saying is, it's full of witchcraft and sorcery. Watch out. When you let your kids watch it, if you let your kids watch it, make sure that they understand that's not reality. We don't live in a fairy tale. By the way, fairies are devils, just in case you didn't know. Superheroes are a deviation from reality. It's great to dream up superheroes and stuff, okay? And I've enjoyed some superhero movies, okay? But understand, that's not real. And kids, I'm not sorry if you just figured that out. I am sorry that you haven't figured it out yet. But it's not real. Peter Pan and fairies and Fantasia and no Mickey Mouse with Fantasia. You know, he's a wizard, sorcerer. Now listen, I'm not trying to trash everybody's childhood, okay? But the fact is, what do you say, really? It's deception. This is reality here for you. I will give it to you on a silver platter. Oh, when you wish upon a star. Makes no difference who you are. Everything your heart desires will come to you. Where did that come from? Oh, wait a minute. I'll second that. So, real guy, dead a long time ago. Got in a bar fight, yeah. No. I don't think so anyway. He did get in a fight. He slapped a guy because he blasphemed. But anyhow, the guy in the red suit, fairy tale, fake, not real. If any of you lie to your children, I'm sorry that you lie to your children. I'm not sorry. I just told them the truth. Anyhow, I may have just punch somebody in the gut. I'm sorry if it hurts real bad, but come on, let's tell the truth, y'all. Are we people of the truth, or are we not? And listen, kids, if your parents told you there was a Santa Claus, it's not because they hate you and they want to lie to you. It's because they've been lied to. And they've been lied to that it's okay to teach that kind of thing. Okay, so I'm not talking about preference here. We talked about that in Sunday school. We went over like judging and whether, you know, you can't judge on preference. It has to be on doctrine. We're talking about hundreds of verses in the Word of God that have to do with sorcery. We're not talking about like Pastor Campbell doesn't like Walt Disney. I'm sure he was a nice guy, except for like the people that he ripped off. But anyhow, other than that, you know, it's an interesting story how he made his way. It's a quote unquote great rags to riches kind of story. Inspirational. But just, you know, don't follow everything he did. But here's the thing. And I'm sure he made a lot of stuff right toward the end of his life. As far as like right with mankind. I don't know the other side of things, but and it's interesting how many guys were so close, like Walt Disney and what was the other guy? Everybody's like, he's the Christian Disney. C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien. Man, just step on those cows, the sacred cows. Let them go. Witchcraft, yes. Lion, the Witch, and the... What? Wait, no witches, right? Never mind. Anyhow, so I'm just... Now, listen, I'm not trying to turn our church into like, you know, some crazy thing, you know, where we're everybody, let's go get, you know, let's go burn down Disney. No. I went to Disney this year, okay? It was fun. But what I'm saying is, be careful. Be careful. Don't let the sorcery of the world, I went to Epcot, don't let the sorcery of the world penetrate your doctrinal positions and your practice. Don't get deceived. Don't get deceived. We'll get there. I got to wrap this up or everybody's going to start revolting. The second point, which I said the third with the first. You stay out there. Second point. Taking mind or reality altering substances. Some folks will like only list a certain... Now, pharmakia, the fact that that's the word does not mean that every medication is sorcery, like the way that they put it all under the pharmakia, you know, pharmacy concept, but it doesn't mean that every medication is sorcery. There are particular medical uses for things that God has put in on His planet. However, mind-altering medication, reality-altering medication, or drugs as we call them, whether prescribed or illegally obtained, is sorcery. I'll help you to understand what I mean by this. Things that get you high and change your perception of reality, whether it's prescribed, illegally obtained, or even legally obtained. Because there are some things you can get legally that will change your perception of reality. Alcohol, yeah. Alcohol can, yeah. You say, what? I did skip a verse. You mentioned alcohol. I skipped a verse in Proverbs. It says, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, listen, on all these things, I understand that some of you, all of you, I'm just going to say it that way, all of us have something here that we can deal with. I believe every American person, at some point or another, probably every single one of them right now, is guilty of sorcery. Things to be repented of. I mean, seeing somebody else do it, that's you go to Romans 1, you know, not only do the same but have pleasure in them that do them, you know, there's an aspect to that you have to consider. We live in a day that is absolutely inundated with sorcery, and we have literally sorcerized, I just made up a word, sorcerized, we have bewitched ourselves into believing that it's normal. Yeah, that too. We have bewitched ourselves. I'm trying to use words that fit with sorcery. We have bewitched ourselves into believing that it is normal. That sorcery is normal and it's okay. What? We've become enchanted. That's right. That's right. Be careful who you worship. If you're rejecting God's reality to put out your own, to put forth your own, listen, it's everybody's guilty of it until they get saved. And then usually everybody ends up guilty of it somewhere along the line after being saved. But before you're saved, you have a view of life that you're okay. You've deceived yourself. You've either deceived yourself into thinking you're not a sinner, or that your sin isn't bad enough, or that you're, or that God is a loving God that would never send anyone to hell. Not in the Bible. God is a loving God, and He would never send anyone to hell that doesn't want to go there. You say, wait a minute, what about, well, why do these people go? Because they want to. Nobody wants to go to hell. They choose. If they want to trust Christ, they choose Him. If they don't, they choose hell. But He loves you so much that He sent His own Son to die for you so you don't have to go there. So don't go. Just trust Him. He's given you His Word. By the way, man, we've got so much access to the Word of God. We can read it. We can listen to it. There's apps and things. You can listen to it. It's so available. My goal this year was to listen through the Bible every month. Once every month. I'm halfway for this month. Or wait a minute. Yeah, I'm a little ahead of schedule. I'm halfway for this month. Just did the number 30 of 60 for the thing. But it's amazing how much access we have and how much we want to pump other things in instead. Listen, I'm not opposed to some entertainment and do some fun things as long as they're not sinful. But don't, if you haven't first spent some time with God. You've got to have that time with the Lord. It's over and over and over again. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Even compared to your food. Job said, I have esteemed His words. How does it say? Above? More? I have esteemed His words more than my necessary food. I might be misquoting that. It's real close to that, though. You can look it up later. But His words, more than his necessary food, the words of God. If you spend an hour watching TV or surfing social media or anything else this week, and you haven't spent 5 minutes in God's Word each day, maybe 30 minutes, we really ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We've got to tap into the explanation of reality. It's all here. It's not here. It's not here. It's not here. It's not here. It's here. He's revealed it to us. That's why this, not just the book of Revelation, but this is the revelation of God. Get in it. And I had a final thought here. Latch on to real truth. Don't believe a lie. Don't practice lies. And you will not be deceived. Amen. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes.